time to present Scott DuPont to bring you another episode of Finance Your Movie with tips and strategies to help you get your money to tell your story. It's time!
Back with another episode. I'm here thrilled to have Brian Long, award-winning producer and the founder of CardinoFlix. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So you're based in New York, correct?
Yeah, part-time New York and then part-time Eastern Pennsylvania, depending on what's going on. When we're in like heavy business and producing mode, we're in New York, and then we're in more of the creative environment, trying to work on scripts and things like that, then we're usually in Eastern Pennsylvania. It's a little less distracting than New York is.
Sounds like a great balance.
It's a little easier to be creative.
So I was pretty cool that you were an Obie-winning theater producer. Let's talk about that briefly before we jump into the films and how that might have helped your film career, both creatively and putting together the money.
Well, you know, I started out in terms of film and theater. I started out back in 2007 with a off-Broadway theater company called Rattlestick Playwrights Theater. And when I went in there, they were producing, you know, about three plays a season, and the budget was probably around $400,000 for that theater company. And then I spent about 10 years there, and we grew to about a $2 million budget. And I did produced about 50 plays.
Wow.
Alongside artistic director David Vanneselt, who had founded the theater company. And I find that the transition from theater to film is not much different. I mean, the biggest differences you have is that when you're producing a play, you're putting in front of an audience and it runs for 6 weeks and that's the end. Whereas with film, there's a much different back end to it where you're going to film festivals, then you're finding distribution, and the life of a film can be forever. But you're still dealing with script, you're still dealing with budgets, you're still dealing with designers, you're dealing with casts and writers. There's a lot of overlap between the two. It's the biggest difference becomes kind of the back end. And I think the biggest thing that theater company helped me in terms of getting ready for film was relationship with artists. That's the biggest thing. Cause you know, we did about 50 plays while I was there. You figure it's an average of four or five actors a play. So you're talking about working with 250 to 300 different actors over that time, and probably another 30 or 40 writers and another 40 or 50 directors. So it was a good way for me to network with the artists that are involved in storytelling.
And some pretty big names, pretty impressive. I guess Jesse Eisenberg did a few shows with you, right?
Yeah, he wrote two plays that we produced, and then he also acted in both of those plays. The first one was alongside Justin Bartha, and the second one was alongside Vanessa Redgrave, which we produced at the Cherry Lane. It was a very, very successful production for us.
Wow.
And he's great. He's amazing.
So before we transition to films, I want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Andrea, AMCKPR, and also Lindsay at clearpr.com for setting this up. It looks like you have a pretty traditional entree into film. You did two or three different shorts before your first feature between 17 and 19.
Yeah, and basically what that came out of was, at Rattlestick, I had started working with Karen Allen, who is a very well-respected and successful actor.
Legend.
Most people, yeah, and that's how most people know her. But she's also, she not only does she act in film, but she does a lot of theater, and she also directs a lot of theater. She's very, very good in that space. And she had been in a play at Rattlestick, and then she directed a play the very next year at Rattlestick. And as my friendship with her grew, one night we were just out having dinner after a show, and we just got into the conversations of things that she hadn't done yet that she might, that she would like to do. And one of the things she talked about was she was interested in directing behind camera. You know, she had done 50, 60 films in her career, and loved directing in the theater, and thought that might be a challenge that she wanted to take on. And she had a piece that she was interested in doing. It was a short story written by Carson McCullers called A Tree, a Rock, a Cloud. So we just started talking about that a little bit. And ultimately I said, well, why don't we try to do that together? Why don't we actually try to make this short film? Let's come up with an adaptation of the short story, and let's come up with a budget, and let's put a team together, and let's see if we can make that happen. So that was my first foray into film, was working alongside Karen to see her vision through for this short film, A Tree, a Rock, a Cloud. And then, you know, I did a couple more short films just to kind of make sure I was ready to step into a much bigger place. You know, when you're doing a feature, you're not doing a 4 or 5 day shoot, you're doing 24, 25 days, and the budgets are bigger and the crew size is bigger. So after doing three short films, I felt ready to go into the more feature and bigger projects. But that's really why how the short film stuff started, was out of that relationship with Karen and her desire to do a short film to kind of get behind camera for the first time.
And so your first feature was Life After You, correct?
That's correct.
There, I saw the trailer. I was blown away. Really looks like a powerful, really powerful, true story. I encourage people to check it out. I'm going to watch it actually this week. But let's talk about how that picture came together. What was the budget range, and how did the financing, like how did you put the pieces together?
Well, it came together actually pretty quickly. I mean, we were so basically it started with a book publisher. Her name was Charlene Gianetti, and she was publishing this book that Linda Letterman had written based on her experience losing her son to heroin. He took heroin that was laced with fentanyl, and he passed at their house. And she wrote a very cautionary book about that experience, which Charlene published. And then she started like reaching out to her network of people, because she also thought it might make a good film. And one of the people she reached out to was Florencia Lozano, who was another person that I knew from the theater community. And she was looking at Florencia to maybe be the actor in it. And Florencia brought the idea to me, and then we met with Charlene, and you know, next thing you know, we're now in the process of trying to put the film together. So the first thing you're dealing with is, you know, rights, which were pretty easy to do because Linda Letterman, who had written the book, wanted to see the film to get done. Then you go into script. So what we did is we put together Florencia Lozano, who is a tremendous actor, but also a wonderful writer. You know, and most of her writing had been in writing plays, but she wanted to get more involved in screenplays. And her and the director, Sarah Schwab, came together, and they basically worked on the script for about 6 to 8 months. Once we had the script in great shape, then we get into the money. How are we gonna make the film? So we, you know, it's hard, but we figured we could get the film done for $500,000. That was the target. We knew that because you're kind of limited there, you're not going to have, you know, 6 weeks to shoot it. You're going to have four, and you're not going to be able to pay everybody what they probably would normally be able to be paid out in the industry. But we were able to get a great team together, and we were ultimately able to make it for $500,000. And the way that we kind of collected the money or raised the money, it was a combination of things. It wasn't one thing. The first thing that we did is we were looking toward companies and individuals who were on the ground in terms of fighting addiction and the opioid crisis. So I would say, I don't know, maybe about $150,000 came in of the $500,000 through people who wanted to see the film get done because they thought it was an important topic. And since we've done the film, we've had it out all over the place. We usually take it to, you know, a theater, team up with someone who's local in that area that deals with education or prevention or recovery when it comes to addiction. So we usually team up with an organization and a theater, and then we do a screening and do talkbacks, which have been great, which is what those original investors were looking to do, that were there to try to see the film done because of the topic. The second area we kind of were able to raise money is bringing people to be like co-producers, assistant producers, who were looking for an entry point into the business, who may not have done something before, but had a passion to become involved. So we put together about three additional producers who all were targeted with raising us, you know, not a big number, I guess it's big, but, you know, around $25,000 each. So we brought in about $75,000 through producers who were kind of trying to find their entry point.
Let me clarify that real quick. So these three individuals who were looking to get that producer title kind of get in, they weren't necessarily bringing in them, or they didn't write a check, but they were helping you raise the money.
Yes, they went out to their network and figured out a way to raise that money, whether that was through 25 people at $1,000, or, you know, one of them I think was able to bring it in with just one person at 25. But that was the plan, that, you know, we provided the support and the documentation and got on phone calls with potential investors, but they kind of drove through their network of people. So that was another very helpful way to raise a portion of the budget. And then the third area was people who wanted to support the artists that were involved. There was a number of people that were very impressed with Sarah's work, who was the, you know, the co-writer and director, who wanted to support her, you know, putting in $5,000, $10,000, that sort of thing. Same thing with Florencia Lozano, who was the co-writer and the lead actress in it. You know, she had people who wanted to see her have this opportunity to do this really, really powerful film. So people that wanted to support her brought money in. And when it all came down to it, you know, between in those three areas, we were able to raise the whole $500,000 through either people who supported the idea of the film getting done because of its topic, people who wanted to kind of get involved and kind of find their entry point into film producing. And then there was just a number of people who really wanted to support the artist, and that's how it happened.
Excellent. That's a very, very neat write-up of those three, or wrap-up of those three different methodologies. Let's drill down on that last part, where there were people supporting the different artists. I'm guessing that in your theater network that you were part of, Rattlesnake, those were people that you or people in the theater community reached out to you that already had a connection with these artists or already really wanted to support these artists in the film? Or how did you reach those people?
I will say there was a lot of things, so it's really hard to just kind of pinpoint it. But, you know, it did, you know, each artist that we were getting people to support them being in the project, it came from all a variety of sources, some of which did come from our relationships in the theater community. But sometimes it was coming from friends and family members and, you know, members of that team's that person's team, whether that was their agents or representatives and things like that. So it really came from a lot of places, and it really was just a matter of having conversations with everybody who was part of the team and saying, all right, who do you think you could go to? Who do you think might be interested in supporting you and helping us get this film done? And then you kind of put a hit list together, right? And then you start with the people that you feel like are, you know, we call them the low-hanging fruit, the people who might be the most motivated and interested in doing it. And then you go from there. until you get to your number.
And you had a business plan that you supplied to share, correct?
We did. It was probably a good 15, 20 pages. It focused a lot on the topic itself and what we were going to try to do with the film to do some good in, you know, not just make a, you know, we had three goals with that film: make a great film, take care of our investors, and then do something that was socially impactful in a positive way, spread the word about this, try to get people talking about addiction and things along those lines, because it's a problem, right?
Huge problem.
A big part of that investor deck was about those topics, like how are we going to make a return for you? How are we going to make a great film? And how are we going to make a positive impact in our communities?
Yeah, well, thank you for doing that. I mean, those types of films are very, very powerful. Want to jump now to A Stage of Twilight. I just kind of ask how that film together, and I guess it's taking Film Fest by storm already, and you got Karen Allen and William Sadler in it. I mean, great cast.
Thank you. Yeah. This was a little different now, because now we had Karen Allen, who I had the relationship with, and Sarah, who wrote and directed this film as well, also had formed her own relationship with Karen, and they worked on this piece for a long time because it was originally a play. And they worked on it for about 6 or 7 years together. And the other actor, they were, you know, it's about a couple who the husband is facing some end of life issues. And those are the two main characters in the piece. And at the time when we were doing it as a theater piece, Jeffrey DeMunn was the actor that was working opposite Karen Allen. And then when it came time to do the film, because, you know, COVID hit, theater started to become very difficult to get something produced. But we knew we'd still probably produce the film if we were able to figure out how to deal with the COVID part of that. But we figured that out and we were ready to shoot. And Jeffrey DeMunn is on Billions, and he was locked into that show at the time that we were about ready to film. And we were so fortunate to get William Sadler. He's tremendous in this film. He's a wonderful person, a wonderful actor. But now we have Karen and Bill. So they're a little bit more known than some of the actors we used in Life After You. So because of that, it's never easy raising the money, but we were able to increase the budget to about $750,000. And with their names, and now with a film that we could show how our films look and are received, it started to be a little bit different. In addition to finding some people that were interested in seeing that type of film made, that, you know, was a conversation about end of life matters, and that's another, you know, maybe not quite as important as the addiction crisis, but, you know, it's still an important topic. So we had people who wanted to see the film get done because of its topical nature. There was people who wanted to be involved in film, and this was another good entry point, or maybe this was a step up. We got a number of people from the first film that went along into the second one, and then their numbers increased. Like, I think instead of 25,000, they needed to raise 75,000. And
Oh, great.
Same people were able to then go to the next step. And then again, we had people who were interested in supporting Sarah and some of the other artists that were involved. But there was like a new place that we started to kind of look at. And that was, you know, what's another reason someone would invest in a film beyond the three I've already mentioned? Well, another reason is because they want to earn a return. So we had a much better chance of delivering a return when you have some known actors in the piece. So I would actually say a good 300,000 of the 750 came from people who were specifically looking at this as a potential return for them. And they based on the script and the talent that was involved, they felt like they'd be able to earn on it. And that was kind of a new piece for that film that we focused on in terms of our fundraising. But between those four areas, which it was three areas, now it's four going into that film, we were able to get the 750.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On getting those two. And I guess you just did we don't need to dive deep into it. I'm guessing for Crybaby Bridge, you kind of did the same model, I'm guessing. It sounds like you got it down to a formula.
Same thing. And now this time, you know, going into that film, we now had we had Stage of Twilight now done, and it was in festivals and it was doing really, really well. And Sarah's reputation has started to increase. So really what it did in terms of how we raised money for that, and that one, we jumped up to $1 million. And we have some wonderful actors in that as well. Sydney McKayla, who is a 2-time Emmy nominated actress. And at the time we brought her in, she was, I think, 19 or 20 years old. So she's young, but already super accomplished. We got Eric King, who most people know from Dexter. So we had some name recognition. Then we had two people who are some of my favorite people I've ever worked with and met in my entire life. Florencia Lozano came back to do that film as an actor. And then Michael Lawrence kind of rounded out the main part of the cast. And he was a person who was a playwright and actor that I worked with at Rattlestick a number of times. So with that cast and with Sarah's kind of now history of work and seeing it, seeing the accomplishments she was getting, we were able to, I guess the big difference there was that it's kind of like a spider web, right? Like life after you, that, you know, we had the middle of the spider web, and then with the Stage of Twilight, we were able to make the spider web get a little bigger in terms of our reach. And now by the third film, you just start to know more people, and people see the work that you're doing. And if they really like it and they have disposable funds that they might be willing to put into it, your spider web just gets a little bit bigger. And that was the case with the stage, or with a Crybaby Bridge. So we also increased the producing team by a few people who helped also bring in money. So we used a lot of the same things. It's just now getting bigger.
Congratulations on that. So
thank you.
Getting back to a Stage of Twilight, where can people see the film?
So Stage of Twilight, right now it's in its theatrical run. We have about 50 screens that we are in. We started in early March, and we will continue theatrical until the end of April. So we spread it out over 2 months, which then allowed us to be able to also travel with it. We love doing talkbacks and meeting with the audience and getting audience kind of reaction to the film, and then having conversations with them about the topic. So in spreading out the theatrical window for 2 months, we've been able to travel with it quite a bit. And then on April 26th, it will go out into the video on demand space, so it's available on Amazon and all of those types of platforms. And Buffalo 8 is our distributor on that. We were very fortunate to team up with Buffalo 8, this amazing company based on the West Coast. They haven't been around for more than a decade, but this is what they're doing. They're going straight up. They're just making things happen, and they're getting more and more known, and the team is wonderful. So we're happy that they were our distributor for the Stage of Twilight. So they'll be releasing it April 26th.
So interesting you mentioned that, because I always think about Buffalo 8 is coming in very, very early for a lot of development stuff. But you use them for distribution? Are they helping the PR, the rollout?
With the rollout, we've got like a bunch of different people that we're using. So we were able to fortunately get a theatrical booker who helped book the theaters, then Buffalo 8 as the distributor, and they have like a marketing team as well, right? So their marketing team is focused on how they're getting the film out there and how to get attention for it. In addition to that important role they play, we have a publicist that we've been able to bring in, who's working getting all the press, and then we've also brought in they're also kind of a marketing person, but they're in that social media space where they find influencers who are willing to then kind of watch the film and review it and talk about it. And these people, all have a certain number of followings. So we brought in a company, an individual, Mandy K Marketing is the company name. And she's kind of our influencer marketer on it. So between Buffalo 8, our publicist, the influencer marketer, and Suzanne Jacobson, who's our theatrical distributor, we have a nice team to be able to give this a legitimate chance of being seen.
Well, sounds like a winning combination because I've seen a couple news hits in different local and regional markets just looking for the film. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What is the do you have a preferred way that people can follow you, or do you have a social media platform yourself?
Oh my, we have lots of those things. And this isn't my area of expertise, but I know that we've got, Sarah Schwab and I are both on LinkedIn. And then Cardinal Flicks has its website, has its Instagram, has its Facebook page. And then each of the films as well have a number of the social media. So it's pretty easy to find us either through Cardinal Flicks or the individual films or through LinkedIn if you're looking directly for Sarah or I.
Fantastic. So I always like to give our guests parting words of wisdom. So what would you say, Brian, to someone just out of film school? Maybe they've done a super low micro budget, but they're doing their first 300,000 film, or maybe someone's circling back to do their first 700,000 or $1 million film. What would be some advice to them so that if they feel overwhelmed, they don't know where to start?
Well, that's a I could give a very long answer in that, so I'll try to keep it precise. When you're making a film, I look at it in 10 steps, right? You need the rights, then you need a script, then you need a budget, then you need to raise the money, need to assemble your cast and crew. Once you get all the money, then you go into pre-production, you do the shoot, post-production, festivals, distribution. There's steps to this whole thing, right? And you have to be good at each one of those steps. So obviously when you're talking about going and making your first film, script is important. Make it the best written film that you can. And then put your budget together once you see what the script is, how many locations you're going to have, how many days you're going to need to shoot, how many cast members you're going to need. That budget's very important. What you don't want to do is put together a budget of $250,000 and realize you're going to spend $400,000, right? That's tough. So you got to
Thank you.
make
Thank
sure
you for
that's the
saying
plan.
that, because that is so important to get
It's huge.
a veteran
And it's
line
not easy.
who knows what
It's
they're doing.
not easy. Yeah. And it's not easy because you're never at, when you're dealing with these, smaller budgets, you're never going to have the resources that you need to be comfortable. It's going to be stressful at that lower budget. Even the $1 million film was stressful for us. We just didn't still have everything that we wanted to have, but you still have to try to make the best film you can on your resources. So, really understand that budget and figure out how you're going to be able to make the film for that amount of money. Then you go into the fundraising, which we've talked a little bit about, and look for people who might be interested in the topic that you're telling the story about, what the film's going to be about. Look at your network of people who might be interested in becoming a producer, who might be able to go out and raise $25,000 of your budget for a producer credit and being involved from beginning to end on the project. Look at the people in your life, whether that's friends, family, your network, who might be willing to support you. Really, it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of thought. But there, if you've got a belief in wanting to make it happen and the material's good, like you'll eventually find your way in, sometimes quickly. Once you have the money, then you get into the casting and the crewing up and the shoot. All these things are their own world, each of those steps. So just make sure that you understand each of those things. Don't not think about distribution just because it's at the end. Like, be thinking about this very much early on, because when you're raising the money, people are going to ask you, like, how are you going to get the film out? You have to have a sense of what your plan is there, right? So all these things are very different in what you have to be working on in terms of like distribution. Again, it's at the end, but yet you need to be thinking about that early on. You need to be casting up, crewing up with people that you will work well with, who are going to be positive influences on the set. Very difficult to make a film when people just aren't on the same page. But knowing each of the areas and understanding them best you can is a big asset, big asset. It's not just about writing a script and shooting a film. There's a lot else that goes into it. So just be prepared.
Well, congratulations. You took all those years of theater experience and did three films back to back. I can't wait to see a stage of Twilight. See it, catch it in theaters now or streaming. And Brian Long, thank you so much for
thank you
for coming on today.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. I'd be happy to come back again.
It's time!
There's never been a better time to make your own film. And if you have a dream project you're excited about and 100% committed to getting it funded, go to financeyourmovie.com. Click on the green telephone, you'll see our calendar and find an open spot. We'll do a one-on-one call, which will be the best hour you've ever spent getting clarity and strategy towards financing your movie.